Hello, welcome back to See You Right, the podcast. The podcast where two unqualified football fans try to sound qualified to talk about football. We're back with another week. My wonderful co-host Sean is here with me, but I think, you know, let's skip the pleasantries and let's move into probably the biggest football news story in quite a while. You know, if you're living under a rock, you might not have heard it, but of course, Jurgen Klopp is leaving Liverpool after 7 years as manager. Of course, Champions League winner, Premier League winner, League Cup winner. Did he win the FA Cup? I think he did. He did win the FA Cup as well, yeah. Insane track record. Insane track record, but I think even bigger impact on the league. This was a shock, especially the fact that it came midday, during a weekday, just all of a sudden announced in the middle of a season. But it sort of is how he would do things. I think it's very obvious that Jurgen Klopp is a man of his own convictions. So, yeah, Shawnee, my friend, I have to ask you, what do you make of Jurgen Klopp taking his leave from Liverpool?
Well, I think, yeah, it's a big shock, obviously, and I think, as has been reported, I don't know if Klopp's admitted this himself, but the decision was made in November. So it's also surprising that this did not leak out whatsoever up until now. And not, it didn't even leak, it was announced. Maybe potentially journalists got a hold of the story and that's why they jumped the gun. But yeah, it is a shock. But I think of any manager to sort of make this announcement and to step away after 7 years and kind of be upfront, I think Klopp is one, like, you know, he's one to always get slagged and for some of his excuses, and there is always that partisanship in terms of football fan bases, but, you know, he's always been a very outspoken individual around social issues. He, you know, spoke of his difficulties during COVID. I believe he lost his mother, and he couldn't really go home during that period because of COVID. So, like, I'm sure that's all had a toll on him personally. And I think he's someone you'd probably back to say, I know myself well enough to know that this isn't for me anymore, and I am de-energized by the process. You know, 7 years is a long time, and I think he's not quite the same as your Wenger and your Ferguson's in terms of being a kind of all-seeing, all-knowing figure at the head of a whole structure. You know, just being the absolute boss, the king in their respective clubs. Like, not to say he isn't those things, but I just think he puts a lot more of himself into the team. Like, even the way he interacts with fans is so much, it comes down to a lot of, like, given all of this vigorous energy, do you know what I mean? And I've seen people sort of make that joke, but I wonder, is that at play? Because I think he has said he's tired, and, you know, some said he'd struggle. You know, there was the 6 years after Dortmund, you know, was then started to fall to pieces, and it looked like it might happen for Liverpool at stages, but they pulled it back together. But yeah, it's a real shake-up for the Premier League, I think, in some senses. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens from here with Liverpool, because, you know, they have been with every, you know, tooth and nail they had, fighting to keep up with City and to challenge City for the title. And, you know, they've obviously come off second best in most seasons. Aside from the season they won it, but, you know, that season they lost one game and they didn't even do it. So, like, that has to be a toll. And going as far as they have for as long as they have in so many competitions, I think, you know, it just shows that it can take its toll on an individual. And fair enough, like, equally, you don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again with the same thing. You know, maybe it is time for a change of surroundings or taking a job closer to home for him.
Yeah, I mean, there was, I think, Mark Lawrenson lives near where his house is being built. He's building a house in Menorca, I think, Jurgen Klopp. And he's like, talks to Mark Lawrenson about, obviously Mark Lawrenson would be involved with the club a little bit and stuff, and their houses are near each other. I don't know if you've seen this or heard about this, but yeah, he's just saying, like, it's like a super gaff Like, he's building himself like a super gaff in Spain to go and chill out for a bit. Which, fair play to him. You know what I mean? I love that. I think, and look, he deserves it as well. He's put his heart and soul into that club. And I think, you know, it's a mark of the man when you look at how he is viewed from a Borussia Dortmund perspective and how he is viewed now from a Liverpool perspective. Of course, it's a hard thing to keep up. I mean, you know, you can't be a legend everywhere you go. But so far, he's kind of almost there. I know he had his time at Mainz and stuff, but really, like, his two big jobs, he's a legendary figure at both clubs. And that's not something to be balked at. But, yeah, I think there's a couple of things here that, you know, are important points. I think the fact that he has what he has and he's been doing what he's been doing, I think it underlines how hard it is to do that for such a consistent period of time. And now with him gone or going, when you look at the longest serving managers in the Premier League, it's almost frightening then, because, you know, there aren't many who have been around for multiple years. I think it also shines a light on how much easier it has been for Pep Guardiola. Not to take away from Pep Guardiola's achievements by any stretch, like, what he's done is amazing all the same, but when you have infinite resources, obviously it's much easier to stay sane in the game than Jurgen Klopp. I think we talk about it all the time. You know, we're sky high of 120 episodes of this podcast, and I think the amount of times that we've said, how does Jurgen Klopp just find a way to squeeze all this juice out of these players? Like, he's always, bar maybe once or twice, one or two instances, he's always had, like, sort of an inferior team to Manchester City, at the very least. But yet he still made it look like it's on par. And I'm talking, when I say inferior team, of course, I mean in terms of the depth and the talent that's there. Like, Man City just had that freaky period for a little while where they seem to have had like 7 or 8 50, 60 million pound defenders. And I think you just really have to tip your hat to Jurgen Klopp in terms of what he's done. I hope you won't mind me making the comparison, but when, you know, the comparison is always made, like, oh, the Klopp-Guardiola rivalry versus the Wenger and Ferguson rivalry, different eras, different times, different everything. But I just think it's, you know, I think Klopp is very clearly the Wenger in that comparison. And it's sort of like, I think Arsene at the time couldn't leave, but was incredibly tired, you know what I mean, after a while. Like, it's not easy to try and squeeze the juice out of those players. I think Jurgen Klopp has been amazing at it, but, like, he knows what he's up against every single year, every single week. And I think for him, it's time to try something new. Time to take a break, relax for a bit, and try something new, because realistically, he'll never face a job. Well, you know, you never know, but I wouldn't think he'd face a job with this much difficulty to succeed at the top, at the very, very top, ever again. Unless he comes back to the Premier League, of course, which I don't see him doing, just based on how he operates as a man. But I, you know, if he was to take a job in, let's say go back to Borussia Dortmund, I don't think he'd be as stressed, you know what I mean? Or if he was to go and take an international job, or I think he'd probably fancy himself, like, for some reason I really do feel like Jurgen Klopp and a giant like Real Madrid or something along those lines would really be up his street. Heavy metal football meets Los Blancos, like, you know what I mean, that sort of thing in a couple of years time, that sounds like a bit of fun. And essentially he will be offered every vacant manager's position that comes up between now and the next one he takes. Anyone who has a spare spot will at least call him. You know what I mean? And that includes both of our clubs if we do end up having empty spots. You know what I mean? We'll call him. Everyone will call him. He'll be the first name on everyone's lips as soon as there's a vacant manager's position. Hell, probably you know, you'll have a couple of cheeky calls from smaller clubs too. But yeah, I've rambled long enough about it. Any more opinions before we move on to kind of what Liverpool might do?
Well, I think just as well to say, like, I would posit the question, you know, whether or not, like, obviously Michael Edwards has left. Is it Julian Ward was another of their sort of execs has left. And, like, basically the brains just behind all of the transfers. And from the last I remember checking in on sort of the Liverpool situation, Klopp's power and responsibilities were growing. And I wonder, did the, and that sort of extra responsibility, the extra stuff he had to do, like, it wasn't as it used to be where he would sort of request profiles and have meetings and suggest what he needs in terms of the team, and he'd be presented with players who'd been scouted within an inch of their life so that he knew fully well what he was going to get and what he could work with. I wonder, has that played a role in his decision here and why he's felt a bit more exhausted? Because it's only, you know, he did sign a contract up until 2026, and I do recall, I think we all believed he would be going, I think at this stage anyway. So I wonder what's changed since he signed that extension to 26 and now. And the only thing I can point to is the changes in, behind the scenes and his apparent growing responsibilities. It's interesting sort of jumping on to maybe what he'll do next. Like, I think if any manager, they, you know, Guardiola took that sabbatical in New York where he didn't really do anything. I wonder, is this going to be the same situation where Klopp will go away for a year or so, maybe two, or take the time out? Like, I'd say that Germany national position is ready and waiting for him whenever he wants it, be it now or in the future. But just as you kind of mentioned, before we talk about Liverpool more so and everything else, like, I don't really see him belonging in sort of a Real Madrid or a Barcelona, just like as a fit in terms of culture. Like, there's something about how he manages and the vibe I get from him that sees me viewing him going more to, like, if we're talking Spain, Atletico Madrid, in some senses, just in terms of, like, a team with a slight underdog status who aren't the fully established, you know, like Liverpool definitely weren't when he went there. Dortmund definitely weren't when he was there. You know, it'd been a long time since they'd won a title. And I know Atletico have intermittently, but of the big teams in Spain, where do you think heavy metal football is going to fit best of the three? And I think that's Atletico. But equally,
yeah,
I think Klopp's someone who makes his decisions on more than just the name. I think it would have to be, I don't know, I just get the sense, like, if you went to Italy, for example, he would be going to Inter or one of those guys, like, just with that sort of history and the deep-rooted passion for the game, you know, like Roma, like any of those kinds of teams. Like, there's many of them in Italy, but...
Yeah, interesting thought, though. Interesting thought, if I can pose this. He is a master communicator. Like, in front of a microphone and in front of players, like, you can see why players melt in front of him. Like, he is a master communicator. Now, I don't know this off the top of my head, so I am going to look it up while recording this. But, like, does he speak anything other than English and German?
No.
Do you know?
Not as far as I know, Owen. And while you Google it, I'll just add this sort of context piece. I do recall reading that even before he joined Liverpool, he was concerned about his communication skills transferring in a second language. Now, I would just say, depending on what results you come up with, if he can do it, you know, German to English, I wouldn't doubt his ability to do it in a third or fourth language at that. You know, maybe that's what he'll spend his time in his Menorca home doing, is to learn Spanish.
And,
do you know?
Like, he speaks a little bit of French. That's about it, though. He says himself fluent in German, a little bit less English, and then a little bit of French. So I mean, oh no, Jurgen, don't go to PSG. but I mean, look, he can go to lots of, like you said, he seems like the type of guy that if he did want to, like, spend the next 2 years learning Spanish, you know what I mean, he'd be all right. Do you see him going back to the Premier League? Because I don't.
He's categorically said he'll never manage in England again for anyone. Mm-hmm. So I
mean,
can't see that happen. No, like, yeah. Owen, I know you'll say to me probably money talks, and we've heard similar things before, but
yeah,
like,
I just said I don't see it either. Like, I don't see it at all. I'm just saying, Like, you know, it's one of those things of like, I'd say 99% he doesn't, but there, I have to leave a little bit of a 1% in there.
Yeah. Now, like, I would have thought at some stage or another he'd categorically never manage Bayern Munich, but I don't know if that's a possibility. Like, we'll see what comes out in the wash there. Given yeah, I mean, he did manage Mainz and then Dortmund, but I suppose his ties to Dortmund were a bit more deeply linked.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else he can take in Germany other than going back to Dortmund or taking the step to Bayern. Yeah, like, essentially he can walk into any job he wants. You know, just there's one terrifying thought that I have that would give everyone the heebie-jeebies. Stranger things have happened than this, but like, you know, people talk about when is Pep going to finish up at City, and it's like, could you imagine that sort of turn of events in like a sort of what if scenario of Jurgen Klopp taking charge of City in a few years? That would be like, you know, talk about getting booed at Anfield, but he'll never do it. He'd never do like that. He would never do. You know what I mean? But still, a funny thought to propose. But yeah, like certainly has his name up there in the top five managers to ever manage in the league. In terms of what he's done, I think, you know, people will point to one title. I think that's quite unfair of a criticism. You know, because people will point to other managers like, you know, Ancelotti or Conte.
I think you just have to contextualize it in his impact in the league in a broader sense, and it's far greater than what Conte or Ancelotti's done.
I think that the question is, do you watch football? And if the answer is yes, then you know that he is probably one of the best managers who have ever managed in the league. Like, mentioned in the same breath as Wenger, Ferguson, Guardiola, Mourinho, and Klopp. Like, you know what I mean? Those are the ones you talk about. Like, those are the legends of the modern era that we're going to talk about for the longest time. So, cheers, Jurgen. Yeah, like, amazing stint in the Premier League, and brought me a lot of terrible moments, brought you a lot of terrible moments as well. So, cheers for that as well.
He still has 6 months to go.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where we jump onto the point of, does it affect their season?
Well, for me, the one thing I'll say is, like, I'm curious, like, I'd love to know the exact reason it was announced now, because, like, you know, I was watching the press conference, I think, or sorry, not watching, but saw clips from his most recent press conference, and, like, loads of questions about fan reaction and this and that. So, like, it's going to dominate the discourse for 6 months for him and for Liverpool. Do you think it serves to energize the team? Like, they're on the cusp. Like, they're in a position to win the league here. So is this something, you know, like Last Dance and all that kind of those terminologies that get thrown around? Like, will it be the unifying factor? Things like this always get talked about in rugby. Like, you know, if you think about Sexton's last World Cup was always mentioned by the media as, oh, that'll be a motivator for the squad, all this kind of thing. So I wonder, is that what this is going to be?
It's tough because Ferguson did it. So it's possible. But, I just don't like. Ferguson did it. Arsene certainly did not do it. I'm thinking of like managers who've announced that they're leaving before. It's hard for me to say that like I always think the greatest, like bar the exception of Alex Ferguson, I always think the greatest managers kind of go out on their arse a little bit. And it's just such is the way. I think a lot of those important players will sort of be thinking, where do I stand now? When you've had a manager for such a long period of time, the questions will start to circulate in those players' heads. Like, I think this might not just be the last season of Jurgen Klopp and his staff and some other people at Liverpool. I think this is also this sort of leads me to believe that this is probably Mohamed Salah's last season at Liverpool. I don't see him wanting to stay under a new manager, especially with the prospective opportunities that might be on his doorstep. That kind of goes for, like, you know, Virgil van Dijk's already spoken about his future a little bit. I think there's going to be possibly a bit of an exodus in terms of playing staff. And I also think that that's healthy in a sense. I'm not saying losing Salah and van Dijk is like health is like a good thing for Liverpool. But what I more so mean is that the new manager will probably have a lot of scope to mold the team and really try and keep Liverpool in that upper echelon rather than burn it to the ground and start again. And yeah, is it worth talking about the possibilities for the new face? Or I mean, there's one name that is on everyone's lips and it doesn't seem to be going away.
Yeah, well, like, I think, like, you're obviously talking about Xabi Alonso, which I think there's a high degree of recency bias, you know, not just because of Bayer Leverkusen's exploits in the league, but equally, like, his links to Liverpool. So, like, it's a very obvious thread. I would wonder, sorry, now I'll jump in here, like, I'm jumping ahead into the Xabi Alonso train here, but, like, better connected sources in the Bundesliga than I have kind of spoken about this and mentioned that, you know, Xabi has said in the past already, when being interviewed this year, and last even when there was talk of moving on because he did such a stellar job in his short period at Leverkusen then as well, that he's going to take his career at his own pace and he's not going to rush and jump the gun. Like, I don't know if you recall the podcast we did about, I can't even remember what club he was due to join, Alonso was, but was it Sociedad or something? And then it never came to fruition.
And we had, and we, like, it was like done, right? It was done.
Yeah. It was a Wolfsburg or one of those. I don't really remember, but
I think you're right with Spain. I think it might have been Sociedad.
Yeah, like, well, he was B manager there, so I think that's what we were talking about it for. But yeah, I think the smart move is not to do it. If I'm Xabi Alonso, right, like, you wait and see what happens with Leverkusen this time out, and in all likelihood you'll be in the Champions League next year with them. It's probably better to be building on your brand there before making the step up. And especially, like, if you look at, like, no one who's followed any of the managers we've just mentioned has really, they've always kind of been a stepping stone to the next guy in a lot of senses, or there's been a few stepping stones between managers, you know what I mean? Like, think of Wenger kind of like to Arteta, you had Emery in the middle, United have had however many guys, you know, since Ferguson, none of them stepping up, but, like, Moisey was a disaster when he came in. So, like,
it's kind of that thing I talked about when we were talking about United. Like, do you need a fall guy in between?
Like, precisely, like, yeah.
Like, it's that thing of, like, it's all well and good thinking that Xabi Alonso can just come in and take up the baton, but what if he doesn't? And then that's a shot missed. You know what I mean? The guy who comes after Klopp is going to have a very, very hard time. I'm not sure about any other, like, because I've really only heard Xabi Alonso, but I mean, like, the other names are just kind of a bit standard, aren't they? Like, I've heard De Zerbi. For some reason, of course, people still talk about Steven Gerrard, but I think that's more of a fantasy. But have you heard any more?
No, the ones you've mentioned are the only ones I've seen linked. I'm literally checking the odds here. Like, yeah. Nagelsmann, like, I was been throwing his name around willy-nilly about United jobs. Like, but, like, there's no, like, Gerrard cannot be the guy. Do you know what I mean?
No, I mean, I see other names here now that I look, like Roger Schmidt.
Of Benfica.
And Ruben Amorim. So, like, looking at Portugal, looking at Sporting and Benfica, I mean, like, they're interesting names. Like, they are interesting. And it's like, I think those ones are the safer options, in a sense of like, if it works, happy days. If it doesn't, oopsie. it's like, how high are the stakes is the question.
Like, we've seen with Lampard and with certain guys, like when they get that job too early, like or Gerrard even getting the Villa job and look what's happened. So I'd like to think Xabi Alonso is astute enough to know that he's only really been managing at the top level for a year and a half. By the time this comes around, like, does he back? Surely he backs himself, given all he's done thus far with Leverkusen, to only grow and improve and get that. Like, I don't think it's irrelevant that Ancelotti signed an extension with Real Madrid as the sort of whole Alonso to Madrid stuff was getting talked up. I wonder, is that because Alonso said, not right now, potentially? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look after himself. Like, we'll move on to this in a second, I guess. But it is a fickle sort of thing, management. Like, one minute you're hot, one minute you're not. All it takes is one disaster. You never know. Like, you've also got to take this opportunity might never come for him again. You know what I mean? If it comes up, that is. There's no hard evidence to say that it has. But also, you know, you look at his mate from San Sebastian, Mikel Arteta, who never managed at all, and stepped in and did and is doing quite all right. In comparison to his predecessors. So, like, it's a tough one.
But, sorry, I think Arteta spent a lot more time managing at the top end of the game at City. You know, sorry, not managing, coaching. Like, he spent a good few years before he stepped out of the shadow. Like,
oh, yeah, of course. I think it was
Xabi's
three.
Only
four.
Track history, as far as I'm aware, has been Xabi Alonso, sorry, is the stuff with Sociedad and then stepping it up to, mm-hmm. to Leverkusen. So, like, I think you want to arrive in the best position, and he's clearly got the talent, but he also needs experience. Like,
I mean, yeah, to... like, I mean, you say that, but, like, you know, he's had experience. He now has experience. Like, I know it'll only be a year and a bit, but he knows what it's like to have the top job at a club. Whereas Mikel didn't have that before he went. So it's like, it's apples and oranges in a way. I still think it's very early for both of them. But, like, you know, he was all, like, there's that famous clip of Mourinho when he talks about Xabi Alonso before he became a coach. He was talking about Xabi Alonso, like, he's like, he played at Liverpool under Benitez, then at Real Madrid under Mourinho, then at Bayern Munich under Guardiola, and now is going on to be a coach himself. And it's sort of his education in football is quite astounding under those managers. And apparently he was always involved in sort of tactical setups and everything like that. So he has had a good education in football, a great education. Like, Jesus, like, you know, Benitez, Mourinho, and Guardiola. Like, you know, not bad. Not bad at all. I just think the landscape at Liverpool is the interesting thing. What's he walking into? How, like, can they give him guarantees of this player or that player? How will those players react to him? Like, you know, there will be players there who will be like, not so sure. Like, again, when you bring in a young manager like that, there is going to be a bit, like, relatively unproven. Like, I mean, he might win the Bundesliga this year, which would be a huge coup, of course, but relatively unproven in a sense of when you try and, like, if he has to have the talk with Mo Salah to be like, hey, Mo, here's what I think you should do. How receptive is a player with Mo Salah's experience and what he's won going to be to a manager like that versus a Jurgen Klopp? Same goes for Van Dijk, Trent, like a lot of these big players. How are they, like, because, you know, at Leverkusen, he's got a lot of prospects. And he's got Granit Xhaka, of course, as well. But, like, you know what I mean? It'd be interesting to see how he operates. But shall we, speaking of Xabi, shall we move on to Xavi?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's funny, you know, I think it feels like a lot happens in a short space of time sometimes in football, and none more so than two of the biggest jobs in Europe becoming available within days of each other. And at the same time, you know, end of the season. Xavi Hernandez, I believe, with even more names in between, is decided to step away from Barcelona. I don't know if this is a case of him jumping before he's pushed, or doing it in such a way that he gets to see out the season and potentially give himself 6 months. But it really does shake up the market as a whole. Owen, I don't know if you want to get into the nitty gritty of Xavi leaving Barcelona, but like we know it's a basket case of a club, but
yeah. But if there's one thing that they've proven over the last decade, because it's been a basket case for a decade, right? Like, we can kind of say that now. It's been a bit mad for like at least 10 years. Yeah. If not longer. Like, it's always been a mad club. But
yeah,
like,
well, like, when they like, it seemed to be fine under Valverde and who's the manager of Spain? PSG at the minute. Yeah, Luis Enrique. Like, you know, they were good successors to Guardiola. I suppose Barcelona never really suffered the Pep Guardiola drop off to its worst effect.
Yeah, it's kind of that thing though. When I talk about it as being this crazy club that it is, you still see the effect. It's the similar effect that we talk about when we talk about Man United. It's like the opportunity to represent FC Barcelona only ever comes up like once or twice. Twice if you're extremely lucky. Like, how many players, like, you know what I mean? Like, Dani Alves, that's it. I could see Guardiola maybe stepping back in there at some point later on in his career if he wanted to. But, like, not a lot of players do it twice. Like, you know what I mean? You don't usually get a second opportunity. When you hear of a player being linked to Barcelona and then they don't go, they very rarely get to go again, you know? So I think this is an opportunity that will pique the ears of anybody who they reach out to.
None more so than
who they reach out to I don't know who they'll reach out to. Sean, do you have any ideas who they might reach out to? I don't know.
Well, they obviously won't go for Xabi Alonso because, you know, he's a Madridista and Sociedad affiliated more so, and you wouldn't necessarily see him taking that job true to the history. Fabregas is managing in like the second division of Italy. He's got the links. Is Iniesta just randomly going to become the manager? You know,
he's got the Como thing going on. Fabregas, he's like an owner / coach.
Oh, is he? Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
I don't know.
Is Vincent? Oh no, Del Bosque is ex Real Madrid. See, like, they're probably going to have to be Spanish, you know? Like, anytime they've deviated from that hasn't really gone well since, you know, obviously, the Halcyon days where they had Cruyff and the guys, but...
Yeah, I don't know if any Spanish managers are available right now, though, to be honest.
There's that guy, he's from sort of San Sebastian area, isn't he, Owen? His name Mikel. Mikel Arteta, potentially. He's the Arsenal manager, isn't he? And he came through the Barca Academy, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, they dropped him.
Yeah, but as we've seen with Fabregas, you know, you can get dropped by the academy. It's still long to go home.
He shouldn't have gone back, though. He should have said Arsenal.
So, look, let's the jinx and the reels.
If there's a lesson to be learned from Cesc Fabregas, it's don't go. Like, I mean, the rumours are, I think Mikel answered them very well in the press. But again, I've had my heart broken before. So...
And there's, do you know, I think that the speed at which, I think, was it Spanish papers saying he'd already been offered the job like the timelines didn't really make sense.
It's completely fabricated. Like, and he said that you could see he was like visibly annoyed by it. He tends not to be able to hide his emotions, Arteta, which sometimes is great and sometimes not so much. Yeah, look, I think the thing is for Mikel is he'd need a lot of guarantees going there. Like, when he was visited by Vinay Venkatesham and the rest of the Arsenal hierarchy at the time when he signed on, he wasn't easily convinced to come to Arsenal. Like, it wasn't just a yes, let's do it. It was like a yes, but here's what I need. And I think Arsenal were in a place at the time where they were like, screw it, yeah, of course. Like, you know what I mean? And then that grew greater and greater and greater over time. To abandon the project at the stage it's at right now, to go to a club where, let's face it, you will not be given those guarantees. No way. No shot. Not going to happen. Like, Barcelona are not going to turn their club upside down for Mikel Arteta. I don't see it being that way, especially with Laporta as president. Like, the structure of the football club doesn't allow for a guy like Mikel Arteta to be there and do what he does, because he has been year on year gaining more power at Arsenal, intentionally gaining more power, taking more power as he gets it. So, you know, he is a sort of executive slayer of a manager. And of course, to be an executive slayer at Barcelona as the coach, like as a player, it's a bit easier. Look at Leo Messi. But like as a manager, I don't think it's so simple. Continue.
I think it's a relevant point because he was given a lot of grace at Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think there's plenty of excuse for the early days, you know, kind of having to get rid of the Ozil cartel, getting rid of Aubameyang, going through that period of sort of trimming the fat and bringing out a leaner, meaner machine. And I think Arsenal's sporting structure as a whole has improved massively. I don't know if that's down, I wouldn't say that's necessarily down to Mikel Arteta, but as opposed to, like, in some senses, potentially the Kroenkes getting more of a stake over that time and installing executives who actually know what they're doing. You don't get that in Barcelona, and you never will, because of the makeup of how the club is voted, the presidential elections. It's not like, in some senses, you know, it's a weird model over there. I don't fully understand it because I don't think it's quite the same as fan ownership, but like, or maybe it is, but the, like, a president there is always looking to be re-elected. So every president under the sun, you know, that's why they put out that weird statement when Messi signed for Inter Miami. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Every president wants to deliver Leo Messi or wants to bring back Neymar, you know, potentially, maybe less so these days, but they're going for popularity more so than anything else. And
like, yeah, just to jump in there, sorry, on top of you, but like, I'd be more worried if like they hadn't decided on a coach and Mikel won the Champions League this year. You know what I mean? That would worry me more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get you. But it's just like, is Mikel Arteta sort of the new shiny thing that isn't Pep Guardiola? You know, like, you can sell it to the fan base as he went through La Masia. Yeah. Oh, well, let's not really talk about how we cut him. But like, that kind of thing. And is it more so, like, and don't get me wrong, he's operating at the top level, but he's also not a slam dunk. Like, he hasn't really achieved it. Like, sorry. He hasn't achieved a league or European title. He's won FA Cup to his name in his entire managerial career, which is, you know, fair enough. He won that in his first 2 years as a manager or coach, whatever he was called at the time. But like, Barcelona's whole approach these days is just like, what's the next shiny thing? Can I sell off a limb to be able to afford said shiny thing? And in some senses, I think Arteta is that for them now. He is the... And I just think he's smart. Well, I should hope he's smart enough to know he's better off. This like, the way Barcelona's operating now, this opportunity is going to come up again, because there is a bit of a dearth of managerial talent out there these days, I would say. Like, if it's not Arteta to Barca, like, who is it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I actually genuinely can't name you a manager who, like, Xavi was plucked from Qatar.
Yeah, so, I mean,
and they had Kike Setien, who was just the Betis manager at the time. Like, they haven't, and it was Ronald Koeman, who had done nothing at the level. Like, they haven't managed.
They sort of they operate like a national team, don't they?
precisely. Yeah, exactly.
In many senses of the word, it's like, did you play for us? Cool. But yeah, look, with Mikel, I imagine there's a temptation to go to Barcelona, right? If it came up. And again, I imagine it was one of the first phone calls that they made. However, there's a couple of things here when it comes to Mikel Arteta to Barcelona. I'm not saying it's impossible, and hence why I was worried when we started talking about it. I don't think it's impossible. I think Barcelona, like, you know, hell, if Barcelona offered me or you a job right now, we'd probably listen. You know what I mean? It's like, to go and be a part of Barcelona is an insane opportunity for anybody. With Mikel, I think it's important to remember that he hasn't lived in Spain since he was a tot, basically. Like, and he's lived in England specifically for over 2 decades. Very big family man, and also very attached to the project and to the club that he's at, former club captain. Like, he is an Arsenal man. You know what I mean? Like, that is his club as a player. So to give this up, like, this won't come up. Again, we're talking about opportunities. The chances of him managing Arsenal again are slim. Like, you know what I mean? You go to Barcelona, you fail. Then all of a sudden you're managing a mid-table club in La Liga and your top-level dream is not necessarily over. But this sort of brings me around to the end of my Mikel Arteta point. Barcelona, if he has his eyes on any job that isn't Arsenal, it is not Barcelona, if you catch my drift. There's another job that he would have his eyes on that is bigger, bolder, better, with infinite resources and a chance to win everything in English football.
So he's not that attached to Arsenal, is what you're telling me then?
Everybody has a price, Sean. Everybody has a price. And
there's old Kloppy doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's see. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's not like, yeah.
I think there's an equal chance here that Luis Enrique gets drummed out of PSG and he just takes up the job in the summer. Like,
yeah, I think the Arteta thing is the press. Like, what's going to get more clicks on the internet is the Arteta thing. But again, just a couple of points. He's an Arsenal man. He's lived in England for a couple of decades, and also, if he was to move clubs, not the one that I think he'd move to.
And let's be real here. Like, if he does actually want to manage Barcelona, chances are that opportunity is going to come up for him again.
Yeah.
Like, the way they're
maybe next their year.
Ship, yeah, exactly. The way that ship is being run. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you? Like, it's either, you know, he's probably positioning himself to take over as Man City manager, but in the long term. But firstly, he will have to, you know, to do the business and win some more silver or Arsenal, potentially a Champions League this year. Like, so long as he kind of keeps on the trajectory he's going, Barcelona is nearly a backup option waiting to happen. Unless he overstays his welcome in Arsenal and it all falls apart. But his stock is only rising at the moment. Like, do you know what I mean? No one's saying...
I don't think, bearing a disaster, his stock is damageable at Arsenal, considering what he's done now and the way he's...
I don't mean his stock at Arsenal. Yeah. It's his stock to the market.
But that's what I mean. He'll all, like, even if, like, let's say he doesn't do well enough to get a bigger job ish manager funds resource wise, you know what I'm getting at.
You can't bring yourself to say it, can you?
No. But let's say he goes back to another club that he was at before. That he'll have to do extremely well and sort of like be on top the way he is now, like be challenging for titles and be up there if that drops off, I still think he could go to a club like a Barcelona or elsewhere. Like, I still think he's...
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's what I mean. Like,
Yeah. Like, I that's what
Barcelona's
I mean. I think
the backup here. He needs to be... Yeah. He's positioned himself for... Yeah. Like, if Barcelona can hire Koeman, Saint-Étienne, like, a myriad of guys we'd never heard of as their manager before landing on Xavi, like... Obviously, sorry, we knew who Koeman was, but, like, you know, guys who weren't really at the level. Like, Klopp, like, maybe they will go for Klopp. Who knows? But, like... I don't know. I think Klopp is being positioned for the Germany role because it's not exactly trending in the right direction for Nagelsmann ahead of the Euros, and that's why I'm shouting his name all every week about Man United, because he's kind of someone that Ineos might be like, he could be salvageable or salvage the project kind of vibe. So, like, all of these moves in a broader sense, Klopp, Xavi, like, you'll see the impact it's already having on the quote unquote market. The links to Arteta, people are already saying who's Klopp's next managerial gig is going to be the Germany national job. Like, it's all,
I mean,
it's all fun. Like, Tommy Tuchel could go to fucking Barcelona the way it's going for him at Bayern at the minute. So, like,
it's that sort of domino effect that you're sort of leaning into, like, of like in a hypothetical world, you know, Klopp leaves Liverpool, that position has to be filled. Xavi leaves Barcelona, that position has to be filled. Let's say it is Mikel Arteta, then all of a sudden June 2024 the Arsenal position has to be filled. Like, do you know what I mean? But, and then that throws the cat amongst the pigeons altogether then again. So it's like, it's sort of silly season in a sense. I think it'll all be very straightforward in the end.
I think, like, I've realized we've been going on for about 40 odd minutes again on this topic, or across sort of roughly similar topics, so maybe we should wrap up soon. I will come back to our other bullets another week, but
no, 100%.
My last parting thought along with this is, I do wonder if Emery will be Barcelona manager come the summer.
Now that's a thought.
Because everything he's done at Villa, and he's Spanish. I don't know, like, if there's,
and he's
like,
just a coach as well. He's just a coach. He fits like a glove.
And, like, some might, you know, tar him with the you know, he's a park the bus manager with Villarreal and stuff. But
good beggars can't be choosers. Evening.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers in Barcelona's position. So I would say watch this space.
You know what?
Arteta is like...
That's a hell of a shout, Shawnee. That's a hell of a shout. That's down as one of the best shouts I think I've ever heard on the podcast.
Look, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But
no, but I like it. I like it. It makes sense, which is maybe why Barcelona won't do it.
Sometimes in these things, Barcelona have airs and graces. Do you know what I mean? Like, although we wouldn't take a serial Europa League winner, we are Barcelona, that kind of thing. But where's Emery from? Let me check. Is he
like not allowed to take that job?
Yeah.
Are we talking about
is he Basque? What is he?
Yeah.
He's
not Catalan. I know that for sure. He's definitely not Catalan. I should really know this, but I've blocked a lot of that period of my life out of my mind. Yeah, the Unai Emery era. I think he is Basque. I think he's North. As far as I know, if I remember rightly, because he's got like an X in his... Yeah, he's Basque.
Yeah, sorry, I was on my head there. He is Basque. He's from Honduras. He's not from that little sliver where Arteta, Iriola and all are from then, I assume.
Yeah, but it's okay to be Basque. Like,
No, there's plenty of Basque guys, but like... Just... I do wonder if that's the way that this will all shake out, because, like,
that's
unlike Arteta, like, Emery to Barca, like, that would be a huge deal for Emery personally.
It's him finishing his story, in a sense.
Yeah,
like, I think
this
is
what he could, like, think of that team. Think of that Barcelona team. He's the type of guy who's working with he hasn't really done much buying with that.
He's a squeeze the juice guy. That's what he is,
and he will maximize Gavi and Pedri and, like, Frankie Dion. Like, you just know, like, and
and especially
the,
if
Keita Balde, all these young guys, and then he'll get a tune out of Rafinha.
Rafinha is such an Emery player.
Yeah, no, they're all over the shop, and like he might not be the Barcelona way, but he could be someone who actually might win a Champions League in Barcelona.
And but also, anyway. just as a note on Emery as well, also apparently a very, very good communicator, which is one of the myths about him, because his English wasn't good the first time around when he came. But also, like, you know, not a problem he'll have in Spain, obviously. So,
if Villa finish the season strong,
mm-hmm.
keep an eye.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, just to wrap it up, I think that's it. It's about personal ambition and ego in football, right? Jurgen Klopp, of course, has quite the mighty ego in and of himself. He has to be who he is and what he's done. But ultimately, he finished his story at Liverpool. That's what he did. He finished the story. As soon as he won that league title, the story was finished in a sense. Like that was all he, like, he almost pushed it further with a quadruple and all this kind of stuff, but he finished the story. He brought them from the way they were when Brendan Rodgers walked out that door to where they are now, and he has nothing left to prove. That story book is shut. I think Mikel Arteta has a lot more to write in his story at Arsenal, at the very least, so I don't see that happening. But interestingly enough, I have to agree with you. I think Unai Emery would be able to close the book on his managerial story. Not retire, but you know what I mean. With a trip to FC Barcelona. That would be huge. Love that. Love that. What a nice way to end the podcast with a nice little hypothetical. Delicious.
Hot take.
Mm-hmm. Watch, in typical See You Out There fashion, watch everything we've talked about be completely wrong. And it be completely different. But that's the way it goes.
There is a world in which Marcelo Bielsa becomes Barcelona manager as well here. But
screw
like,
it. Yeah, fun. Yeah. Let's do it. But, I mean, Arsenal themselves, I mean, this podcast is going to go out afterwards, but Arsenal themselves are actually kicking off in a half an hour. So that'll be fun. Nottingham Forest. The
two whole Premier League games between now and our next record on.
Wow. Yeah, so I'm in a pretty good mood right now. There's this game and then another very important game in between. Can't remember who Arsenal are playing. Doesn't really matter. But yeah, so my mood may or may not change between now and then. But until then, Sean, you my friend, I will see you out there.
I'll see you out there.